Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our series of studies on the seven mysteries as found in the Word of God. Last time we looked at mystery number one, we saw that the God manifest in the flesh, amen. Today we want to look at mystery number two, which is the mystery of, last week was the mystery of godliness, God manifests in the flesh, and this week, mystery number two is the mystery of the indwelling Christ. And the reason these were mysteries is that these were doctrines that were hidden until revealed to the Apostle Paul. Now, what is the mystery of the indwelling Christ? Well, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as I said, this is the second of the seven-part series on the mysteries in the Bible. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, if you'll turn there just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 1, the scriptures have this to say, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ in stewards of the mysteries of God. And this particular mystery that we'll be discussing today on the Pastor's Study is found in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter number 1, in verse number 27. We read in the book of Colossians chapter 1, in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, as we look at the mystery of the indwelling Christ, it's found here. It's stated in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And of course, this particular mystery, the indwelling Christ, has to do with Jesus Christ actually residing in you after you get saved. If you think about it, it's a mystery, is it not? How the Creator of the entire universe, who is currently seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, could literally and fully indwell every single Christian who is alive on earth today. But he does. Amen. When Christ was on the earth, he explained to his disciples that the time was coming when they would see him no more. Nevertheless, so that we would not be comfortless, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, and that he would dwell, amen, within you and shall be in you. Look at in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. He said when he would leave, Jesus said he would not leave us comfortless, but that he would send the Holy Spirit. We're turning to the Gospel of John right now in chapter 14. Again, we're studying the mystery of the indwelling Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. John chapter 14, verse 17. Jesus says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So we see that Jesus promised that he would not leave us comfortless, but would give us the indwelling Holy Spirit, would be our comforter. Amen. However, when he explained to them, he said this. Jesus said this to his disciples in John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He even told him at the time that he would be in his Father, and that we would be in him, and that he would be in us. Again, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, in verse number 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So we see then, not only do we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, but we also have the Lord Jesus Christ in there also. One of the greatest promises in the Bible is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, with me. Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, look with me in verse number 5. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, and accord the he here in the verse is in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he hath said, this is what the Lord has said to each one that he indwells. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. So from this mystery, you can see that Jesus Christ literally meant what he said, since he actually lives inside of us. Amen. And praise the Lord, when you get discouraged and despaired, full of despair and depression, and you will, amen, to remember that promise that he said right here. You need to underline this verse. Amen. When you go through that valley, and you may feel like not too close to him, like you seem like he's not there, but he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, how often have you heard people in a backslidden condition mourning the thought that Jesus Christ is now so far from them? And why do they agonize? Well, they agonize because it seems like God has left them and Jesus has turned his back on them. However, as a result of this mystery, the indwelling Christ, Christ in you, as I said as we began, amen, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why you can have the hope of glory, because Christ is in you. And someday you're going to be with him in glory, praise the Lord. Amen. But we see that many agonize because it seems when they're in a backslidden condition like God has left them and Jesus has turned his back on them. However, as a result of this mystery, we find that Christians who feel like God is so far away are simply overwhelmed in their heart that they have done something to displease God. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 20. Look at the promise that we have. In 1 John chapter 3 in verse number 20. If our heart condemneth us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. In other words, you may feel or sense a great distance between you and God, but in truth, he is as physically close to you now as he was the moment you got saved. Amen. You know, often that's what the devil will try to make you believe. He'll twist God's word, he'll pervert God's word, he'll add to it, he'll take away from it, amen. He'll change words, he'll make you to think like you don't have Christ anymore, amen. but that's not true. He's as close as to you since the moment you got saved. He's right there. Amen. And according to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we need to read those together. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. According to what we just read in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, the broken fellowship between you and Jesus Christ can be restored by confession. Amen. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and does not require you to ask him to come into your life again. Amen. That's what many teach today, that a born-again child of God can lose his salvation. Amen. And that's not true. Certainly, a Christian can break fellowship. The Old Testament word is of being backslidden. That's really an Old Testament word. And the New Testament, it's really breaking fellowship with God through our sinfulness when we sin. Amen? Some will say, well, they can't understand. If you're saved, you're born again, how is it that you can get so mixed up in sin? Amen. And act like someone that's unsaved. Well, it's a lesson for another day, but basically it's because of the two natures found within the believer. Remember that our spirit is born again. Amen? But our physical part, our body, our flesh is still unsaved. Amen. And what happens is when you, as Paul instructs us, the Word of God, the Scriptures tell us to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. And when you don't yield to the Holy Spirit of God and you yield to your sinful flesh, that's when you and I get into trouble. Amen. That's when we sin. That's when we break fellowship. Amen. See, the difference now is, as born-again believers, as children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, you have a choice. Amen. Before, when you were unsaved, you didn't have a choice. Amen. It was your Adamic nature to sin. Amen. But now your spirit's born again. Amen. Your soul, according to the Word of God, has been cut away, been spiritually circumcised from the body of sin. Amen. So now you can come under the influence of the born-again spirit or the unsaved flesh. The flesh is still unsaved. So that's why a person, a Christian, can get into heavy-duty sin. And someone looking at them wouldn't even know they were saved, amen. But all you have to do, amen, as we read those verses, amen, and 1 John chapter 1 and verses 7 and 9, is all we have to do is confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God, hallelujah. Amen. I really feel sorry for those people that believe that you can lose your salvation. Amen. And I thank God I don't have to feel saved. I don't know about you, but I don't get up every morning feeling like I'm saved, but I know that I'm saved because of what the Scriptures say. Amen. And I've placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement at Calvary to pay for my sins. I'm trusting in only what Jesus did and his shed blood. Amen. and I've repented of my sins and asked God to wash away my sins and the blood that Jesus shed for me there at Calvary. Amen. You know, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Christ died. He died for our sins, was buried, amen, according to the scriptures, and rose again the third day, amen, according to the scriptures, amen. You need the death, burial, and resurrection. You need, that's all of the gospel, amen. If he wasn't resurrected, I'll tell you right now, we'd be in a world of hurt, my friend. My preaching would be in vain. Your faith would be in vain. Amen. As Paul wrote in the 15th chapter of Corinthians. Now, there are three great things that we see when we understand this doctrine. Amen. The indwelling Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And first of all, we want to read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, look with me in verse number 10, what the scriptures has to say. If Christ be in you, and we know according to the word that he is, he's in the believer, dwelling in dwelling Christ. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, the scripture is telling us, with Christ living in us, our body is dead because of sin, and our life is now the life of the Holy Spirit because of righteousness. And the only way you and I can enjoy the victory that we have in Christ is if we mortify the deeds of the body, first of all. Going back to Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. But if you through the Spirit, see that? You can't do it in your flesh. It has to be through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That Spirit there in the King James Bible, hope you have the Word of God. In the King James Bible, you have a King James Bible in your hand. You have the Word of God, amen. The Scriptures, amen. They're not just in some old lost original autographs, praise God. They're right here in your hand. If you have a copy of God's inerrant, inspired, infallible, preserved words, if you have an AV 1611 King James Bible in your hands right now, it says, but if you live after the flesh, what? You shall die, amen. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that word mort means death. If you put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. Ye shall live. So you need, the only way you and I can enjoy the victory that we have in Christ is if we, first of all, mortify the deeds of the body, and then second, reckon ourselves to be dead under sin. Looking in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6:11, Scripture says, likewise reckon ye, declare, also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But see, the problem with many Christians today is, you know, even though the flesh is dead, we should declare it to be dead. We each day we get up, some of us, resurrected, amen, and go around in it, walking in a dead corpse, amen. That, the only way that you're going to get victory over sin in your life, amen, is to mortify the deeds of the sinful body and reckon that body to be dead to sin, amen. Bible says you and I were crucified with Christ, amen. Our body was nailed to the cross. Our sinful body, our sins were nailed to the cross, put on Christ. Amen. We said that there are three great doctrines that we see when we understand this doctrine. And we saw the first one. We read in Romans 8:10, with Christ living in us, our body is dead because of sin, and our life is now in the life of the Holy Spirit because of righteousness. The second thing that we want to see, understand the second doctrine, and we need to go to 2 Corinthians, with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In verse number 5, the scripture says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Amen. Now, according to 2 Corinthians 13:5 that we just read, with Christ in us, we can prove to ourselves that we are saved. Amen? That's right. Because without Christ in you, amen, you're a reprobate. That's exactly what we are without Christ. We are nothing but reprobates. Amen? Truthfully, there are only three people that know for sure whether you are saved or lost. God's one of them, the devil's another one, and you, yourself. Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. We see that, again, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. See, with Christ in us now, as believers, you have a choice now. Amen. To get victory. Amen. The main thing is, who are you going to be yielded to? Amen. Are you going to be yielded to that person that you see in the mirror? Or are you going to be yielded to your inward man? Amen. To the new man. To the new creature. It's up to you. God doesn't hold a gun to any of our heads and say, you know, you got to serve me today. It's all voluntary. Choice is yours. Amen. You're saved. Praise the Lord. But you're just not saved to sit on your hands, my friend. You're saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, what he did up in Calvary wasn't a game. Amen. Every drop of his blood, amen, was given for you, was given for me. Why? So that we could stand righteous before God Almighty, the Father. What a blessing to have the Creator of the universe right now, present tense, dwelling in you, and dwelling in me. I don't think we really realize what we have inside of us. Amen. The guidance system that we have inside of us, if we'd only follow it. See, some of us like to get up and shut it off. Amen. And let our bodies, let our sinful flesh guide us. Amen. But we see that our spirit, amen, our spirit with the Holy Spirit, amen, testifieth, tells us that we're saved, amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Amen. I said there were three things that we see, three great things that we see when we understand this doctrine that we're talking about, the mystery of the indwelling Christ, the Christ in you, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The third thing we want to see, and we need to read, find that in 1 John chapter 4. The first epistle of John, chapter 4, in verse number 4, please read along with me. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 that we just read, with Christ in us, we have the spiritual power to overcome the spirits of false prophets and the spirit of the Antichrist. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. See, as Christians, because we have Christ inside of us, amen, we don't have to be overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can be overcomers, amen. You know, Jesus said, be of good cheer. You're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. He uttered those words here in the Gospel of John. So what we have inside of us, indwelling inside of us, is the great overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Jesus says, you're not going to avoid tribulation. You're going to get it. You're going to have it. But he says, but be of good cheer. You and I can be of good cheer. And he says, the reason we can be of good cheer is I have overcome the world. In times of going through tribulation and trials and testings, amen, we can be of good cheer knowing that the overcomer, Jesus Christ, who's overcome the world, is indwelling each and every one of us as believers. But what's the sad thing is, we have the spiritual power to overcome, but how many of us try to overcome in our own power? And if you tried to do that, and I've tried to do that, I'm going to be honest. In my Christian experience, amen, I've tried to overcome in my own flesh, in my own power, and you know what? I've fallen flat on my face. How many of you Christians will admit that? If you're honest with yourself, that's what's happened to many of you. It's happened to me. Instead of relying on the indwelling Christ and letting him do the overcoming like he's already done it, we try to overcome. Instead of overcoming that trial and tribulation, it overcomes us because we didn't rely on the indwelling Christ, the power, the spiritual power of the indwelling Christ to get us victory in that situation. That concludes mystery number 2. Again, this is a series of the 7 mysteries as mentioned in the scriptures. Today we looked at the mystery number 2, which is the mystery of the indwelling Christ. And that what is the indwelling Christ? It's the mystery of what is the mystery of the indwelling Christ? We saw it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we find that mystery mentioned there in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27.